this opportunity to dive into your word and to spend time with you, to get to know you better. And so, Lord, we just say yes. Yes to what you want to do this morning. Yes to how you want to move in us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This last week, I've been walking with God, and what that's looked like for me has just been, right now, our staff, we're going through the book of Nehemiah together, and we all kind of have our own studies, but we come together, and every week we just share what God has been teaching us. And one of the things that I've been learning, I was focusing on Nehemiah chapter 6 this last week. It's been all about discernment, and I've just been spending some time just kind of praying and inviting God to help me be more discerning. Another way that I've been walking with God is a friend of mine called and is facing kind of some challenges in life and wanted some prayer. And so I've been just trying to daily pray for that person. And the other way is that there's been a lot of things coming up, and I've wanted to just ask the Lord to give me wisdom about things with adventure and different things that are going on. And so I've been asking God to speak to me about that. But regardless of the ways that I've been walking with God, when I say walk with God, what I mean is simply inviting God into every aspect of my life, everything from the most mundane to the most extreme. And in each one of those examples that I shared, some things are more weighty, right? Praying for this friend that's facing these challenges, that's a heavier thing. And maybe spending time in his word is a lighter thing, at least on this particular subject. And then praying for things about the future, asking the Lord to give me wisdom about what's coming next in adventure. You know, I want to make sure that I'm hearing correctly. Those things all have different weight, but each of those things are ways that we walk with God, that we have relationship with him. Just like I'm walking with a friend, I walk with God. Well, good morning. Welcome to Adventure. My name is BJ Hillbush. I'm a lead pastor here. And the reason I'm talking about walking with God is that we are starting a series called Live the Adventure. And this is week two. And I shared last week that this series is all about the vision and mission that Adventure has, the vision and mission that God has given this church. And throughout the Bible, we read about how churches have different unique gifts and passions and ways that they fulfill the Great Commission, which every church is called to do, but God empowers different groups of people in different ways and calls them to unique purposes to relate to their community. And so we have a vision and mission here, and I shared them last week, and I'll share them again. Here is our vision statement, and a vision statement is basically a desired future, something we hope, an outcome we hope to see happen in the future, and that is we want to see hearts restored and people set free to adventure with God. We want to see armies of people that have got their hearts back, that know who they are and what their identity is in Christ. They're set free from whatever that is that's holding them captive, and then they're on adventure with God. Whether that's here or whether that's somewhere else, we want to see people that are joining God in his mission. But you'll notice it says nothing about us restoring hearts. We're not the ones that restore hearts or set people free. We simply point to the one who does that work, Jesus. And so how do we do that? The way that we do that is our mission. That's how we accomplish that. The way that we do that, we make disciples who engage in our five streams. And the streams are basically core values, the ways that we try to incorporate what God is doing. And the reason we pick a stream is that in Isaiah 61, it talks about how streams come into this dry and arid place and bring abundance and life. And so for us, we have these streams. First one is that we walk with God. We want a relationship with God. We want to walk with him. We want to know him. Second, we are being restored. God says that there is abundance and available and restoration available, and we want it as much as we can have and in every area of our life. Next, we are warriors. The Bible talks a lot about warfare, how we have an enemy, and we want to be aware of that and engage in this battle that's going on. The fourth is that we're family. The Bible talks about us being a community of believers, a body of Christ, that each one of us have different gifts and talents. And so in order for us to be that body, we have to work together and bring those gifts. And the last is that we're on mission. Throughout the Bible, it talks, there's all these directives to go and make disciples, to be on the journey, to move and go forward, to come and follow me. All of those require action. And so for us, we are on mission. And like I said, whether that mission is continuing to invest here, or whether that mission is just simply loving your neighbor, or whether that mission is to go boldly and to live in a foreign country and to serve as a missionary. All of those are ways that we serve on mission. But we've learned that as we invest in these streams, that they're meant to come together. Right? If I walk with God and it's just me and my relationship with God, I may have a great relationship with God. The challenge with that, though, is that then I'm not, if I'm only doing that, then I'm not sharing it with anyone else. I'm not completing the Great Commission. In the same way, if I spend all my time with community and I have no relationship with God or I have no idea of warfare, then I'm missing out on the full abundance of truly having a relationship with God. And so for each of us, we try to step all the way into engaging in each one of these five streams. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about what those streams are, what they mean, what does it look like to apply them as we continue to go, okay, Lord, what is your mission for this community? What's your mission for Duval and for these people? And so today we're going to look at the first stream of walking with God. And I just want to define it as this right here. It's inviting God into every aspect of your life from the most mundane to the most extreme. At its core, that's really what walking with God is. It's just simply inviting God into everything, whether it be asking God for information or wisdom regarding a really hard decision you need to make or changing a job or praying and asking God to provide you a parking spot at Costco because it's super busy. Whatever it is, it's saying, God, I want you, I want a relationship with you. I want you in my life. I want you involved in my story. And we're going to talk a lot about walking with God today, and then Jeff next week is going to go deeper with more specific examples. But I also want to encourage you, if you are not plugged in, Tuesday and Wednesdays are men's and women's ministries, as well as youth is available on those same nights, and then children's ministry on Sunday morning. Every ministry of adventure is moving towards the mission that God has us on. And so if you want to go deeper than we're doing here on Sunday morning, I encourage you to get plugged in. But before we dive in, I think over the years I've noticed there's some particular baggage that we carry, especially with the stream of walking with God. What I mean by that is I think many of us, if we're honest, have had some challenges in this. Maybe for you, you've had some bad experiences with people making terrible decisions in their life, and they've done so in the name of, God told me to do this. And so you're like, I don't know about hearing God's voice. Or maybe you've tried hearing God, but you've given up because all you hear are your own thoughts. Or maybe you've concluded that God just doesn't have anything to say to you. He only speaks to certain holy people. Or maybe for you, it's whenever you try to read the Bible, you have a hard time understanding. You're like, I don't get how this relates to my world today, and I have a hard time understanding what it's saying. It must be just for theologians. Or when you pray, it feels like you're just talking to the clouds. Man, it just feels like maybe God doesn't hear me, or he's not there. And I think before I dive into the stream of walking with God, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge that, all of us have had either one of those experiences or something similar that impacts how we approach this relationship with the God of the universe, right? And that is the enemy. That's the enemy trying to say to us, hey, you can't have a relationship with God. I want to cut off communication. And so the way that Jesus always handles healing and getting well is he always asks somebody, what do you want? Do you want to get well? Do you want something different? And so I want to just take a few moments this morning, and I want to ask a similar question and have you actually spend some time answering that question to God. So on the back of your bulletin, there's just a section for notes. And I'm going to put up two questions, and my hope is just in the next 2 minutes, I'm going to put on some quiet music, and I want you to spend a moment just answering these questions. The first is this: what might prevent me from hearing God's truth this morning? Or in other words, what baggage do I need to lay down? Maybe for you, it's like I shared before, you have a hard time hearing God, or you don't believe that that's available, or you have a hard time studying God's word. Whatever it is, what do you need to let down? Do you want to? If hearing God, if having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ was available, you could talk to him, you could ask him about anything in your life and get direction. If that was really available, would you want it? Would you want it? Second question is this: what do I hope to get out of this morning? All right. Just take a few moments. You can just write it down. It's just for you. You're not going to turn it in. Just a few moments, and then we'll continue. Lord, we say yes to what you want to do this morning. We say yes to what you want to teach us. Lord, we want relationship with you. We want real relationship with you. We want to hear your voice. We want to understand your word. Lord, we want to invite you into the deepest aspects of our life and the simplest aspects of our life. Lord, would you speak to us this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. So walking with God is inviting him into every aspect of our life, from the most mundane to the most extreme. And I want to talk about three ways that we can do that this morning. The first is his word, understanding his written word. The second is his voice, this idea that God can speak to you through his Holy Spirit. And the last is our voice, right? That we have the ability to pray and communicate to God. And so the first I want to talk about is his word. And I want to open up in John 1:1. It says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So the word for the word here is the word logos. And it's John picks it for a really great reason, I assume, but it has a lot of history with the Jewish culture as well as the Greek culture that he's writing to. Because in Jewish history, the Jews would actually refer to God sometimes by simply saying, basically, the word. That's what they would call him. They would say, the word of God says to do this. The word of God says this. That's what they would actually refer to him as. And then in Greek culture, the Greek philosophers would actually use this word logos, and they would use that to explain, basically, logos was the power that brought the world into existence and sustained it. That was what Greek philosophers thought. And so, basically, John's saying, yes, the word that you guys are all trying to figure out, let me tell you who that word is. That word is Jesus. That word, logos, is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. He always existed. He was there at the beginning. He spoke the Word into existence, right? And it says some important things. It says he's also God, and it says he was also with God. So we learn some important things about the Trinity, that Jesus is there at the beginning with God the Father. He's there, and he is God, but he's also with God. And so the Trinity is this concept that there is Jesus, there is God the Father, and there's the Holy Spirit. And all three of them are God, but they're all distinct and different persons of the same Godhead. So why does all of this matter when we talk about walking with God or reading his word? Well, John 1:14 tells us why. It says, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Right? This is important because this is the reason why we study God's written word. We study God's written word to understand God's incarnate word, and that's Jesus. Right? The whole point of studying the Bible, the whole point of understanding God's word and reading it and allow it to transform us is because we are then understanding Jesus. We're understanding him and who he is and what his character is, and we learn more about him. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of our heart." So the word, Jesus, as well as his written word, is living and active and able to discern what's going on in our hearts and speak to us. It's also able to correct us. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work." Every word of scripture is crafted by the breath of God. And it's done so with a purpose, to teach us about him, to help us look more like him, so that we could understand him. And the role of the Holy Spirit, who lives in us, is to illuminate that. So it's to take the words on the page and make them apply to our life, to help us understand the deep things of Scripture. And the amazing thing about God's word is that we can read it to a child and they can understand. And yet scholars can sit there and study it for a lifetime and still find new and deep and incredible meaning. The word of God is active. John 14:15 through 17 says this, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." The Holy Spirit is in us. And if we want to walk with God, we need to internalize his word. We need to take it in. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to memorize it. And this is the first and most important way that we can walk with God. If we want a deeper relationship with him, we start by opening up our Bible. We start. And my prayer is that at this church, that your hearts and mind would have this burden to study his word, to dive deeper, to understand the intricacies of it, to study it, to hold each other accountable to reading it. Just like our staff, we're trying to do that because we want to hold each other accountable. You know, we're doing this study together so that every week we can say, hey, what are you learning? What is God teaching you? How is he transforming you? And that's my hope for this, for everyone in this church. And it's not because I think all of us need to be scholars. And it's not because all of us need to know how to do right and wrong. Those are both benefits of studying God's word. Ultimately, it's so that we know him better. That's the goal. The more we know his written word, then the more we know the incarnate word. And that's the purpose, right? That's the purpose, is to know Jesus. I asked Beth to share a little bit about how she's experienced the stream of walking with God and studying his word. Let's check this video out.
So I think one of my favorite things about the stream of walking with God is that it's something that you can do even in the times of life where you don't know how to connect with your community, or you're feeling like you maybe don't, you're not as courageous as you'd like to be in order to do warfare. And so even if you're in the fetal position in life, you can kind of just hunker down with God, and what you'll find out is you're like, okay, God, I want to walk with you, I want to be with you. And before you know it, you're like looking around, oh, you're walking with God too, oh, so are you. And then you have a family all of a sudden. So it develops those things, and then you begin to build the strength and the courage to walk into the other streams of living together and really living fully. And for me, walking with God really started with a smaller group of women, some great ladies that people here at Adventure know, where we decided we were going to just go and find out what the author of the word really wanted to say, and did a bunch of inductive study for various books of the Bible. That's been really rich for me, getting to know what God intended to tell me. The principle of walking with God involving prayer, where you're presenting things to God and where you're also listening for him, and then going to the Word to see what he thought was so universally useful that he wanted everybody to have access to it. So having those three things, when you learn how to go to the Word, where it's not so that, because you've already diagnosed yourself, oh, here's where I'm sick, I need to go fix my problem, let me go find this. But instead you're saying, I don't even know what healthy looks like. I better go and actually find out about the author of what a good life looks like. And I'm just going to go and look, oh, hey, look at this. Now that I understand this, I realize maybe I'm not operating to that awesome design that God had. So I want to take some time to agree with God and adjust to what I've read in the Word. As far as listening for God and presenting what's on my heart to Him, and then wanting to align my heart with His by actually observing what's in the Word, one of the best synergy experiences that I had was years back now here at Adventure, when I was working with the youth leadership team for the senior high group, and we'd really been trying to understand how the Holy Spirit went about His transformational work in our hearts. We wanted to join Him, participate, get to be a part of that in the lives of other people. And we had this cool team of adults who were working together, and God had really inspired us to be able to observe through a few real particular verses the way that He worked, these principles that were generally applied to the transformational work that the Holy Spirit was doing. But we were all sitting in our group, and everybody was in pretty much in agreement, like, this is really great stuff, and we want to be able to use this, for lack of a better way of putting it, as a measuring tool. Like, are we doing what the Holy Spirit is doing? Can we use this as a mirror to reflect and find out if we're operating to His method? And we were like, but you know what would be even better is if we would pray for the Lord to open our eyes, and then we could go to the Word and just observe the Word, not looking for the evidence to support necessarily, but to go through and just see. Like the believers in Berea, they go to the Word with an open mind and they do this comparison. So we're like, let's do that. And one of our team said, well, let's just go start at the Gospels and we'll work our way through that. And we had like a 2 to 3 hour meeting after youth group on Thursday nights, and it was tons of fun. We had first hour was business and the second hour was shenanigans. Well, we were like long done with business hour, and we were all kind of anticipating getting onto shenanigans. But when it was suggested, like, hey, let's just stop and let's read through the Gospels, everybody pick a different kind of principle that we'd identified and go and look for it and see if it's actually there. And then we'll all come back together and we can encourage each other and have this exciting experience of having looked with our own eyes. And that's exactly what we did. And it was the most bizarre thing. We were silent and just did this for a while. And every once in a while, someone would be like, oh, here's a great example. We have to look at this one. But then at the end, we just regrouped and said, this is amazing that the Lord has revealed this stuff. It's all here. He wants us to be able to observe how He's working, and then to be able to emulate Him, to agree with His method, and to join Him in it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we wouldn't have known it with the same level of confidence if we hadn't decided to just go to the source and look at it in the Word. And that's how I've experienced walking with God at Adventure, where we are both presenting our prayers to God, we're listening for His voice, and we're going to the Word to really see what He's already communicated to us.
The more we know His written Word, the more we know the incarnate Word. It's through the process, just as Beth was describing, going to God's Word and learning more about Him, and getting to understand what it looks like to walk with Him. The next way that we can walk with God is to listen to His voice. And before I dive deeper into this aspect of God, I just want to acknowledge the fact that this can sometimes be a challenge for people. And I know that we have an enemy that wants to break communication with God. And so the first thing I want to do is just look at, what does God's Word say? Does it say that He still speaks? Does it say that He speaks to you and to me? And if He did, what would that look like? Right? How would we experience that? And how would that compare? How would what He says to me, whatever words He says or revelation, how would that compare to what God's Word says? And how do we discern that? John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15 says this. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So in this passage, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, and he says that he has more to say, but he's going to use the Holy Spirit to communicate it. Right? So the Holy Spirit is going to communicate to us through his indwelling in us. He's going to communicate to us. But like I said, if the Holy Spirit says something to me, right, and I'll explain what that looks like. If the Holy Spirit says something to me, how does that measure up with what God's word says? We have things that God has already said. We have 3,000 pages of what God's word says. So, right? So here's an important question, and it's a very big question, is can the inward things that the Spirit speaks to me, can those basically revelations or let's say guidance be regarded as authoritative in the same way as Scripture for all man and all kind? All right, and this is a very important question, and to answer that question, it's a profound no. It's a profound no, and what I mean by that is, do we at Adventure believe that God speaks to you? Yes, absolutely. God's word promises the Holy Spirit is going to communicate to you, right? But in the way that the Holy Spirit speaks to me, it is not absolute truth for all of mankind, past, present, and future, right? When God speaks to me, he's saying, hey, I'm going to guide you in this way. I'm going to, the Holy Spirit is going to urge me to do something. But that does not mean that my message that I receive is a message that now I'm in some way adding to God's word. In fact, in Scripture, we are warned never to add to God's word. And so if I hear something from the Lord, it's something for me. It's something for maybe a person around me or for a group, but it's not something that should then be applied to all of mankind. And this is really important that we understand that. Anything that we hear from God will never contradict his word. It will never contradict his character or the wisdom of Scripture. So anything that we hear from God will never contradict his word, his character, or the wisdom we see in Scripture. That is incredibly important as we learn to walk with God and hear his voice. Jeremiah 7:23 says this, "But this command I gave them, obey my voice. I will be your God and you shall be my people. And walk in all the way I command you, that it will be well with you." Psalm 85:8 says this, "Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly." And last, John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." In addition to all of these different passages that talk about hearing God's voice, we have lots of examples in Scripture of believers hearing God's voice. For example, Ananias in the New Testament is told very specific instructions to go and find Saul, who is blind, and given very specific instructions about how to heal him from his blindness. And it's a message that's given to him through the Holy Spirit. So then the question is, how do we do it? What does it look like to hear God? What would that be like? Is it this loud, booming voice? Is it a still, small voice? Is it him bringing up things in Scripture? Well, let's look. John 14:26 says this, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." All right, so have you ever had an experience like me? Oftentimes, I'm talking with someone, and a verse will come to my mind, the perfect verse right for that situation. And it may have been a verse I memorized, but I haven't studied it for ages. Maybe I memorized it in Awana, and I'm like, that's the perfect verse. Have you ever experienced that? That's God speaking to you. That's the Holy Spirit, as this verse is saying, bringing to remembrance everything that Jesus has already taught you. That's God speaking to you, the Holy Spirit moving in you and communicating with your heart. Another way that God speaks is by telling us to do things, giving us kind of an urge in your heart, a nudge that says, go and do this, like your conscience. For example, Isaiah 30:21 says this, "And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left." All right, so another example is, sometimes when I'm driving down the road or I see someone in need, or even this morning, I saw a friend that I felt like they needed encouragement. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was just urging me, go, take action, go, pray for them. that's God speaking. How many of you guys have ever had an experience like that where you feel God moving? Something inside of you is driving you to apply what God's word says, to go, to take action. That is God speaking to you. Another way that God can speak is I had a member of Adventure Church share with me this week. She got a dream. And she was saying that this in this dream, she felt like God was encouraging her to actually invite her and her whole family to go on a mission trip and to serve him. Now, God speaks in a lot of different ways. Sometimes it's a still small voice, a quiet voice in our heart. Sometimes it's bringing up scripture, verses that we've already known or memorized or that we've heard before and he reminds us of. Sometimes even it's through a circumstance. In the Bible, Paul was continually trying to get back to Jerusalem and he was being prevented by the Holy Spirit to do so. And it says so through scripture. God moves in a lot of ways. He speaks to us in a lot of ways. But I think this area in particular is an area that we struggle with. And I think the reason is that we have an enemy who wants to cut off communication. Whatever important relationship you have in your life, if you just stopped communication right now, it would damage that relationship, right? And that's what our enemy wants to do. He wants us to stop communication. And so God speaks through his word. He speaks through the Spirit inside of us. And hearing his voice is nothing to be afraid of. It's something that we have access to. And I think a lot of times we get discouraged because we think it should look or should feel or should sound a certain way, or we want the heavens to open up and God to proclaim this loud, booming voice message. But often it's just sometimes the Holy Spirit whispering to our heart, hey, here's this verse that I have for you. Here's a direction that I have for you. But there's just some important things to remember. Over the next week, Jeff is going to talk more specifically about what this looks like. And so I don't want to dive too far into that quite yet. But just some important things to remember as we practice this stream of walking with God and hearing his voice. Anything we hear must be aligned to God's word. So if what you hear is not aligned to what God has already said is applicable to all of mankind for all time, then that's not the voice of God. Right? Everything we hear must be aligned to God's word. The second is the things that you hear are often just for you, or for a person around you, or for a small group. They are not to carry the weight that scripture has. All right, we should be cautious of someone saying, this is this prophecy that I'm saying for all of mankind and for all believers for the future. That is incredibly dangerous, right? That is not the way that God works. We see that in scripture. We are told that we have God's word, it's complete, right? When we hear God's voice, it's something for us. It's God saying, hey, go do this. Ananias, go meet this guy that has been killing Christians, right? It's a very specific instruction that God gives to him. The last thing is that we are humans. We are not perfect, right? So learning God's voice is a skill. It's something that you can learn to do. It's something you have access to as a co-heir with Christ, right? Because we have the Holy Spirit, right? But we are not perfect. So before you run around saying, God told me to do this, and God told you to do this, maybe we should start with some humility and say, hey, I feel like God's saying this. Would you go and pray about it? You know, would you seek the Lord on some wisdom for that? Or inviting other believers, and maybe there's already something that God's word has spoken to that either can confirm or deny what you are hearing. But we walk into it with humility. And the last thing is, we're the body of Christ. We are not meant to do this alone. And so if you feel like God's telling you to do something crazy, he very well may be. But invite somebody else into it. Say, hey, I feel like God's telling me to do something crazy. Would you pray? And would you see if you get the same thing? Let's seek the Lord together on that and walk in community. So as we hear his voice, to walk with God means to listen to his voice. And this means asking him to speak throughout our day, right? It means asking him to speak about all kinds of things, big things, small things. But the goal is relationship with him. And the last is our voice, right? No one wants a one-way relationship. No one wants one side of the relationship to do 100% of the talking, right? In the same way, God wants relationship with us. And the Bible says that we can approach the throne boldly. We can come with our mess. God is not afraid of your mess. He wants to hear your joys. He wants to hear your fears. He wants to hear your sadness. He wants to hear your anger. He wants all of it because he wants you. He wants relationship with you. And part of walking with God means not withholding that. Right, sometimes we go, man, I need to have things figured out before I go talk to God. No, God already knows your mess, despite your best attempts to hide it, right? We go to him with wherever we're at, our brokenness, our hurt, our pain, our joy, whatever it is. I think the best verse that illustrates this is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Our prayer should never stop. And that, right, this is inviting God into every area of our life, even though it's something simple, or we might say, well, God wouldn't be interested in that. No, he is, because he wants relationship with you. I remember growing up, my mom had this friend, and I don't remember her name, but I do remember this interesting thing about her. She used to talk to God like he was right here, like always on her right and always like right there. Now, like, she was a believer, but I remember I would have conversations with her, and in the midst of the conversation, she'd be like, hold on one second. Jesus, what do you think about that? And she would stop, like, mid-conversation. And I remember, like, as a kid, I'm like, that lady is crazy, you know? But maybe she just had a better understanding of walking with God than I did, right? But the point was, she was absolutely an example of somebody that invited God into everything. And she used to say, she's like, when I drive, God is always in the passenger seat. Jesus is always right there with me. And so wherever she was driving around, she was always just talking to Jesus, right? We have that ability now to talk to the Holy Spirit at any point in our life. Ephesians 6:18 says this, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayers and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And we even have encouragement when sometimes it feels like he doesn't hear us and when he's far away. 1 John 5:14 and 15 says this, and this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. Right? We can talk to God and he hears you and he cares about what you're praying about. And the most important lesson that I can share about today about prayer or about walking with God is ultimately whatever our motivation is what we're going to get out of it. And when we walk with God, the motivation is not to go to God with every little need or every demand, and that's our motivation at the end. Now, does God care about your needs and desires? Absolutely, he does, right? But if I had a friendship and all I ever did was to go and ask for stuff, then I'm missing out on a lot of the joy of that relationship. And in the same way, when we walk with God, go bring your problems, bring your questions, ask him for answers. But in the same way, our goal is ultimately relationship. That's what walking with God is all about, right? It's inviting him into every area of our life, our needs, but also our joys, our celebration. That's what worship is all about, giving back to him and saying, God, I want you to be a part of the good parts of my life just as much as I want you to be a part of the hard parts of my life. And so that's what walking with God is all about, inviting him into every aspect. And we can do that. You can do that. You can have a relationship with the God of the universe if you want it, simply by being transformed by his written word, or by inviting him to speak to you, or by sharing back with him. And I want to share one last verse with you, and it's John 10:27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. This is a promise that Jesus has for us. He knows his sheep. He knows who have committed their lives to him and follow him. And maybe you're here and you don't have a relationship with God. You don't know what it looks like to follow God, to hear his voice. You don't know what that looks like. Well, having a relationship with Jesus is simple. It's as simple as asking him to forgive you of the sins that you have, and making a choice to say, I want to be one of your sheep. I want to follow you. And that's something you can do today. It's not about any magical words. It's about a decision in your heart to choose to say, Jesus, I want to follow you. And you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ today and invite him into every aspect of your life. And if you've already made that decision, I want to provide just a couple next steps for you. First one is obviously men's and women's and youth are continuing. They're diving deeper than we're going to dive on Sunday morning. Next week, Jeff is going to share with us some more examples about what does it look like practically to walk with God? How do we apply this and how do we move forward? And then lastly, there's some resources available on the back. There's a book called Walking with God and it has a little study guide available. We have just a couple available in the back just for convenience. You can also find them on Amazon. And this is just one person's story of walking with God. And then the study guide just walks you through questions to go to God with. And pray through. So I encourage you, if that's helpful, pick up that resource and dive deeper in the stream. As we close, I want to invite both the band and the ushers up, and we're going to close our service. But this week, Nick and I were talking about this idea of walking with God. And I told him, I was like, I really want a song that really encompasses what we're doing. Would you go and pray about it? Would you go seek the Lord? And so I believe Nick found that song. And he just spent some time praying. And it's a new song, another new song that he wants to show with you. But the words are really powerful. And so I hope that you guys are able to worship in that as we close our service. And the last thing we're going to do is we're going to close with offering. And the way that we do that is the ushers will just kind of pass the baskets. And then it's up to you to kind of get them in the back. If you get, you know, worried or panicked about it, just hand it out there and the usher will save you. You can also, there's a basket in the back if you miss it, as well as you can give online. And this is not something, if you're a guest with us this morning, don't worry about it. This is for people who call Adventure their home. We're just excited to have you join us. And as we talk about walking with God, I want to encourage you, even this morning, inviting God into every aspect of your life includes your finances, includes the gifts and talents you have. And so invite God this morning, even during the song. God, is there something that you want me to give to, either in the church or outside of the church? Is there a way that you want to use my gifts and talents, either inside the church or outside the church? Let's close in prayer. Jesus, we thank you. God, we thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you that we can have a relationship with you. And I pray specifically for those who may be wrestling with this idea of walking with you. I pray specifically for them. Lord, would you give them the courage and boldness to continue to ask questions, to continue to dive deeper into the stream of walking with you, because there's abundance available. There is an opportunity to walk with the King of the universe and invite you into everything. And so, Jesus, I pray that it wouldn't end here. Lord, we silence the lies of the enemy. We take them captive. And we invite you into every aspect of our life. And would you speak to us, Lord, about ways that we can give back to you, ways that we can worship you. We thank you for this time, and we give you praise through this last song. In Jesus' name, amen.